The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, so we have our friends at Dalton Brong Optometrists on the line. All right, so let's say good afternoon and welcome them in.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and I know that we are talking about Healthy Aging Month today. So just getting into it, what exactly is Healthy Aging Month?
Yeah, so almost if not every year, the eye care community would dedicate at least 1 month to highlight healthy aging as it relates to vision. So that helps us as eye care providers to focus on the importance of prioritizing your health and well-being as we age, by raising awareness of the signs and the symptoms of age-related vision loss and the steps that the seniors could take to, you know, care better for their sight. And all of this is because, according to the World Health Organization, 1 in 5 people aged 65 and older would have some sort of vision impairment that cannot be corrected with glasses or contact lenses. So, as we age, the risk of eye diseases increases, yet a lot of older adults neglect to keep up with their routine eye exams. At least that's what we see here in our practice. And a lot of optometrists in Trinidad and Tobago also notice the same thing. But those routine eye exams could help prevent or detect the early signs of those vision impairments. So just to give a little bit of insight, I mean, we'll go into more detail as we go on, I'm sure. But perhaps one of the most common causes of age-related vision loss, or at least vision reduction, is something called presbyopia, which could make it difficult for persons to see or perform simple tasks at near or close up. And it's actually one of those things that patients tend to notice really early on in, like, just in their daily life. And it's not dangerous, and it's typically easily corrected with glasses or bifocals. But other eye conditions like cataracts, glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, and age-related macular degeneration could also affect aging adults. But those symptoms and those signs, they tend to show up a little bit later, not later in the process of the disease, but patients would notice it very early on. So that's why we were stressing that it's really important to keep up with those routine eye exams to give us a better chance at picking it up as quickly as possible.
And what would you say are some of the symptoms of an aging eye?
So as we age, a lot of people might experience things like trouble reading the fine print, so that's with relation to the presbyopia that I just mentioned. They might feel like the eyes are burning or watering or gritty, or like they always have something in their eyes. They may start to see things called floaters, so they might look like little dark spots or little pieces of cobweb just moving around in front of them. They might also experience flashes of light coming from the sides of their eyes. Their vision might end up being kind of cloudy. Some people could experience little spots in their central vision. So when they're looking at something straight ahead, it would be kind of distorted because you have those dark spots in front of you as well. And for instance, like if they're walking upstairs or walking along the pavement, things that have straight lines might also start to appear wavy to them, or a little bit distorted, or, you know, like the straight lines might have some gaps in them as well. So those are a few of the things that you might see as we age.
And what do those symptoms you mentioned really indicate?
So I'll go through them one by one. So the first one I had mentioned was the trouble reading fine print. And as I said, that's most commonly associated with something called presbyopia. So oftentimes our patients would come in saying that they could see everything really good far away, but then when they pick up their phone or paper to read, they really struggle to see those words or images clearly, or they'll feel like if they have to push it back a little bit further in order to see it clearly. And this usually happens around the age of 40, so it could be a little bit before, like 38, 39. And it's just a type of refractive error, meaning that, you know, it should be easily corrected with glasses or contact lenses. And well, there are also other refractive errors like myopia, which would be the short-sightedness, and hyperopia, which would be long-sightedness. So the next one is when patients complain of feeling like if their eyes are burning, watery, or they feel like if they have gravel inside the eyes, that's usually because they are suffering from dry eyes, which we talked a lot about last month for those who were tuning in. And when we do our assessments of the front surface of the eye, the optometrist could actually see the changes in the tear film as the patient continues to blink normally, right? And that's how we determine that the eyes are in fact a bit dry, and we could also determine the cause of the dryness, whether it be like a lack of certain components in the tear film, or if it's a loss of function in those glands that actually produce those tears as well. Now, if someone's experiencing floaters, so that's those little spots or cobwebs that you just see moving around inside the eyes, it's usually just a result of the eye's natural aging process or because of the person's refractive error of prescription. So sometimes we notice that people that are short-sighted tend to see floaters a little bit more often than those people who might be long-sighted, for example. But once it's just a few floaters and they don't obstruct your vision really, and they kind of seem like if they come and go from time to time, we're usually not too concerned. However, if the patient notices a lot of floaters suddenly, and they also see like flashes of light, or sometimes they might feel like if a curtain is coming across their vision, then those are signs of something more serious, like a retinal tear or a retinal detachment, which needs to be treated immediately. And then I mentioned things like cataracts. So those are, well, cataracts is something that causes a little bit of cloudy or hazy vision for people. So a person with cataracts might also feel like if bright lights, especially in the night, are very, very dazzling for them, depending on the type of cataract that they have as well. And overall as well, their vision in the night would be significantly reduced. And then the last one that I mentioned was something called age-related macular degeneration. And that's what causes those spots in your central vision. So the person experiencing this might notice that if they try to read or do anything that has fine details, or even if they're looking at someone's face, it would be hard to decipher some of those words or make out some of the person's facial features, as well as they would have one or more spots in their central vision when they look at a thing straight on, right? One thing I may not have mentioned before, systemic diseases such as like diabetes or hyperpressure could also cause changes to the back of the eye, and that could cause straight lines to appear wavy. Now, this would happen if you have those conditions for a long time, or if it's uncontrolled. It would usually result in like bleeding and swelling of the layers behind the eyes. And it would really affect the structure behind the eye called the macula that's responsible for your central vision, which is the most sensitive part of the eye. So once you have that bleeding and that swelling and that part of the eye is affected, that's what causes your central vision to be distorted, and overall you'd also feel like your vision is reduced. So those are pretty much the most common symptoms that you get with the conditions that I had mentioned earlier.
And you talked about presbyopia. What exactly is presbyopia?
So presbyopia is a condition where your eyes gradually loses the ability to see things clearly up close. And it's actually a very normal part of aging. So what usually happens here is that the lens in the eyes becomes less elastic, so it can't change shape in order to adjust to different distances. You may notice, patients may notice presbyopia around age 40, where they'll realize they start having to push things further away to see, be it the newspaper, the phone, or in the grocery, looking at canned items, and they need to push it further away to see. That's actually something that's very normal. Some people experience it around 40. Some patients experience it a little bit earlier. I've had cases where 37-year-olds or even as early as 35-year-olds experience it as well. And then we also do have the cases where sometimes some experience it a little bit later in life, so maybe around 42 and 44 as well.
And how exactly is presbyopia treated?
So it can be treated two ways, either using prescription lenses or contact lenses. In terms of the prescriptive lenses, it can either be a reading glasses, which would have the full reading prescription throughout the lens. So basically, if you're using a reading glasses that's only for reading, you will have to take it off if you need to see clearly for distance and those things. We have bifocal lenses as well, which is the lens where you see the little piece at the bottom. So that lens corrects you for both distance. So it looks for the top of the lens for far and the bottom of the lens for reading. And then the most common type we have, because a lot of people don't like the line or seeing the line on the lens, the most common type that people would go for would be the progressive lenses, which has three ranges of vision. You have distance, intermediate, and near. This one usually takes a little more adjusting to get accustomed to. And then we also have the contact lenses, which can be fit either as multifocals or monovision lenses. With the multifocal lenses, it incorporates both the distance and near prescription in each lens to give you the best of both worlds. While monovision, we usually fit one lens on the eye corrected for distance vision and then the other eye for near vision. So both usually gives the same goal, which is to aid in both clear distance and near vision.
And when we are, when we're talking about cataracts, how exactly do cataracts affect a person's vision and how are they treated today?
So cataract is a condition where the lens inside the eyes becomes cloudy. So think of a window that you have not cleaned for a while. When you try to look outside, everything will look a bit hazy or blurred, as well as colors may appear a bit dull. And one of the major complaints we have outside of blurry vision would be a lot of problems driving at night due to glare sensitivity. So the good news is cataract can be treated or monitored. Usually the first line would be glasses. So your vision and size of the cataract will be assessed either by your optometrist or ophthalmologist. And then depending on the size of the cataract, it usually may reach to a point where the glasses will not work anymore. So at that point, the only treatment that would be required would be cataract surgery, which involves removing the cloudy lens in the eyes and replacing it with a new artificial lens.
And are dry eyes more common as we age?
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's just because the natural tear production tends to decrease, and as well as the quality of our tears could change as well. So for instance, women after menopause, they are especially at risk for dry eyes because the hormones in their bodies can affect the glands or the functioning of the glands where the tears are secreted. So just to remind people, the dry eyes could cause a kind of scratchy, gritty, or burning sensation. And as odd as it might sound, it could also cause the eyes to be very watery, or they would run quite a bit. Now, as I said, we check what type of dry eyes you have during our eye examinations, and we actually have some equipment here to do a full dry eye assessment, so we could better tailor a treatment plan to your specific needs. After determining what type of dry eyes you have, we usually recommend different lubricating eye drops, advise you on certain lifestyle changes like hydration, getting in more omega-3 fatty acids, or if you're like me, you'd have to try not to have the AC or the fan blowing straight on your face, like when you're driving or sitting at your desk or in your room, because those things could really dry out the eyes quite a bit. For sometimes patients, they have dry eyes that are a bit more advanced. In those cases, we usually advise on some more specialized treatments, and in the more rare occasion, we may actually have to refer them to an ophthalmologist to get, you know, prescription drops or treatments to help them feel a little bit more comfortable in their day-to-day life.
And how do conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure affect the eyes of older adults?
So both diabetes and high blood pressure could seriously affect the back of the eyes. With diabetes in particular, or high blood sugar, they damage the tiny vessels in the retina, which is the back of the eyes, causing what we call diabetic retinopathy. Now, this could lead to serious vision loss if it's not picked up early. And high blood pressure could also affect the vessels behind the eyes, resulting in things similar to a stroke, but like inside the eyes. And it will also cause bleeding at the retina, and it could worsen existing conditions as well. So this is why managing these conditions with medication, diet, and exercise, and I want to stress on the combination of those three, because too many patients think that they could just choose whether or not they could use the medications prescribed by the doctors and just change the diet, for example. But there are actually circumstances where the doctor would tell you to just make lifestyle changes before trying the medications because they know the severity of your condition at the time. If they have prescribed medication right away, it means that your condition has already progressed to a certain stage where the medication may be absolutely warranted to get things under control in a timely manner before it, for example, affects things like the eyes, right? And, well, of course, maintaining frequent checkups with your general practitioner and your eye care provider are just as important for protecting the eyes as it is for protecting your general health when you have things like diabetes and high blood pressure.
And can we have eye conditions without having any sort of symptoms at all?
Yeah, so there are many eye conditions that can be asymptomatic or like you don't notice anything in its early stages. So one example, a really common example actually, is glaucoma, which is a progressive eye condition which causes irreversible damage to the nerves of the eyes. And in its early stages, your vision can and most likely will seem totally unaffected. You'll feel like if your eyes are great, seeing everything you need to see. And because of that, it's actually referred to the silent thief of sight. Because only when glaucoma gets to a more advanced stage do patients begin noticing that their peripheral vision or their vision on the sides is decreasing. Diabetic retinopathy and age-related macular degeneration are also eye conditions that tend to be or tend to seem asymptomatic in its early stages. And patients tend to notice the changes in vision way after the changes actually begin. And again, that's why it's important to get those frequent eye examinations so that the optometrist or the ophthalmologist could pick up on those subtle changes earlier on.
And also, how are the age-related eye problems actually diagnosed?
So these problems are usually diagnosed through your regular comprehensive eye exams where your health history, vision, and eye health will all be assessed. A dilated fundus exam may also be performed by putting some drops in the eyes in order to obtain a wider view at the back of the eyes. And we also have OCT scans that can be done to get a more detailed analysis of the retina. Now, once these are done, based on the findings, the patient may either be monitored yearly or may need to be referred to an ophthalmologist for further management and treatment of whatever conditions we would have obtained.
And how can we actually prevent these age-related eye problems?
So there's no way to fully prevent these issues because they usually come about as people age in life. However, there are some steps that we can take to limit the effects of them, which would be, as we always stress, have regular comprehensive eye exams, be aware of your family's eye health history, such as things like glaucoma, because a lot of these conditions can be hereditary. Don't smoke or stop smoking if you currently do. Eat a diet rich in green leafy vegetables and fish. Take dietary supplements. Exercise. Control diabetes or any other systemic issues. Wear sunglasses or broad-brimmed hats anytime you're outside in the sun. And wear protective eyewear when playing sports or doing work around the house that can lead to injuries.
And do you find that people are coming for their eye exams regularly or only when their problems are already advanced?
So unfortunately, it's more common for us to have patients come in only after they have already noticed serious vision problems rather than coming in for routine checks. The challenge with this is with things like glaucoma or diabetic retinopathy, they don't have early warning signs from the patient's perspective. So by the time the symptoms arise and the patient comes in with a complaint, the permanent damage has already been done. So we would really love to see people make eye exams more a part of their routine check, just like they will go to their general practitioner, come in to check their eyes. That way we can pick up on things early and be able to treat them faster and more adequately. Usually the earlier we detect problems or refer for treatments with an ophthalmologist, then the patient's visual prognosis is much better.
And how often should adults be getting their eyes tested?
Most adults whose health is in good standing are usually advised to be tested every 2 years. If someone has risk factors or pre-existing conditions, we might want to have them test every year. And similarly, once someone turns 60, we tend to advise those yearly eye exams. But if they have certain conditions, for example, like the diabetes that we've been talking about, we might want them to test or at least do the OCT scans that Ms. Tata would have mentioned every 6 months to every 12 months thereabout.
And when should somebody actually seek emergency care for their eye health?
So if you experience sudden vision loss, double vision, so you're seeing two of the same thing, any kind of eye injury, sudden or long-lasting eye pain, new floaters or flashes of light, or even a sudden increase in the amount of floaters you're seeing, or a red eye or a swollen eyelid, you should go in to see your eye care practitioner, your eye specialist, or even present yourself to accident and emergency if necessary. Ultimately, if you're in doubt, it's better to be safe than sorry. So if you feel like something is wrong, just come in for a consultation with your eye care provider as soon as possible.
And do you have any final tips for our listeners for Healthy Aging Month?
Yes. So people often associate vision impairments with age. Yes, the risk increases with age, but there are many steps that you can take to promote a healthy eye and lower that risk. So once you get your regular eye exams and follow the routine advised by your optometrist or ophthalmologist, whether it be daily drops or simply wearing your glasses, there's really no reason as to why you can't grow older and maintain good functional vision.
Okay, great. And thank you guys for teaching us a lot about Healthy Aging Month, as well as, you know, our eye health as it pertains to aging and all of the medical conditions that can come with that as well. So what we'll do is we will leave the phone lines open for anybody who has any questions about their eye health so that you guys can answer it and give them some clarity.
All right, we do have a question coming here, it's eye related. Can someone use the drop star without the chemical, or do you have to get a prescription?
I'm not too sure what the person means by without the chemical. They may be referring to, so Dropstar is one of the lubricating eye drops that has a preservative inclusive version, and then they also have a preservative free version. Either of them are fine. It just depends on if you are sensitive to the preservatives in one version versus the other. And usually you can get it without a prescription. I mean, those people that are in eye clinics or they have an ophthalmologist, they would usually give them a prescription to go get it. But like if you come into us, like we have it on sale here, I think you can get it in a lot of pharmacies as well. So you don't necessarily need a prescription to get it.
All right, we do have another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, this is the panel. So my neighbor have glaucoma. So if I go in the drugstore and get it for him for $75. Doc, I want to find out something. Glaucoma, is there any surgery for glaucoma? Because he has glaucoma, not cataract, glaucoma. Is there any surgery for glaucoma? Thanks a lot, we listen.
Yeah, so I can kind of give you a brief insight into it, but obviously your ophthalmologist would have to give you better information on it. But yeah, there are a few surgeries that would be done for glaucoma. Some of them would be laser treatments, which would just kind of increase how well the fluid in the eyes drains out of the eyes, because the whole issue with glaucoma is that there's not enough fluid draining out in a timely manner, which increases the pressures in the eyes, which is what damages the nails behind the eyes. So there are some lasers that would create a better passage for that fluid to drain. Sometimes if the lasers are insufficient, they would actually insert a kind of tube as a kind of artificial way for that fluid to leave the eye sufficiently. But the surgeries are usually warranted if, like, those first-line treatments won't work. So the first-line treatments would usually be, like, drops to just bring down the pressure. So it really depends on the severity of the glaucoma in the patient.
All right, I am seeing another call coming in here. Let's go. Lunchtime, doctor. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, let me press the line one. Hello, good day.
Pleasant good day to your base. Pleasant good day to your doctor. Doctor, you know, I am 59 years old, and what happened is I don't have any eye challenges really as such, but what normally we do like to keep a healthy eye or maintain the eye? Not that I'm diabetic or so at all, but what we can do, like, I heard you talking about dryness, eye, and then what can we do, like, to maintain a healthy eye or you know, how we do that? I'll listen off there.
Yeah, so what I usually tell my patients, so I heard that you mentioned that you're not diabetic, you don't have high blood pressure as far as you know, right? So once your health is in good standard, I always remind them, once you take care of your general health, it always reflects in the eyes, so at least 9 times out of 10. So just keep doing whatever you're doing to avoid getting diabetes and high blood pressure. As Ms. Carter mentioned, make sure you have a balanced diet, make sure you're exercising. The dry eyes is a little bit tricky because even if you're drinking enough water, sometimes your glands just don't function well enough to produce enough tears. In that case, well, that's when we would recommend that you use those lubricating drops and whatnot. But ultimately, just take very good care of your body and it would reflect in your eyes.
We have 2 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Dalton Brong, optometrist, they're here. Lots of questions about the eyes. Lunchtime, doctor. Hello. All right, we lost that one. For somebody who just had a cataract surgery, how long does it take to heal, and how could they tell if the eye is getting better?
So that also depends on the patient. So they're really patient-by-patient basis. Sometimes full recovery, you might get it in about 3 months if everything goes smoothly. But, I mean, remember, every surgery has risks. Now, though, cataract surgery is one of the most, if not the simplest surgery that can be done on the body. As I said, people that have diabetes, high blood pressure, their risks after the surgery are also increased just because they have those pre-existing conditions, you know. It's really down to the patient to follow the regime that the ophthalmologist would have prescribed. So take all the follow-up medications as they should, come for the follow-up exams, make sure not to, there are different things like don't wet the face, make sure you're sleeping a little bit upright. Many different things would impact how quickly you heal. It really is hard to tell, it's hard to give you an average just like that, you know. There's a lot that goes into determining that.
All right, guys, we only have about 30 more seconds. Let's get some information about Dalton Brong Optometrist. Numbers, where to find you guys, all the information.
Sure. So those of you who are interested in coming to have your eyes examined, as you should, we are located on the corner of Queen and Susanna Streets in Arima. And if you want to book an appointment, you can call us at 667-3115. And you could also call or WhatsApp us at 299-3115. So we're looking forward to seeing some of you inside here.
Much right. Thank you very much, guys.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.